But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ Jesus. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We can see God's purpose, why he wants us to be sat down. And he made us sat down. The new birth start there. Nowhere else. Sat down in Christ Jesus. He brought us to a vital union with him through Jesus. And a personal place. Nowhere else. He brought us. He brought us in communion with him. To be in communion with him. In union with him. And it's what I said. Mephibosheth missed it. Because when he came to the kingdom, David said, from today you are my son, which means I am your adopted father. And to the first gift David gave him, he said, you sit down at my table. And it's exactly the same thing God is saying to us. You sit down in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are too quick to do, and we don't learn to be. And that is the mistake. We have to learn to be a king and priest in the kingdom of God. It's only when we learn our position as kings and priests that we will be able to walk in our position, not before. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. Colossians chapter 1, 12 to 14. We've seen the new birth. We are going to see our new kingdom. Give ye thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That is the work of God. That is God's responsibility to get us out of the kingdom of darkness and to bring us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Everything is prepared for us. We got nothing to do. When we came to the Lord, nobody asked us to do anything, not even to have faith, because humankind normally doesn't have any faith at all. We are born with fear, not one piece of faith. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The new birth and our new position, our new location in the kingdom of his dear Son. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 to 6, please. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 to 6. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. And to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Third part. First part, newborn. We are a newborn baby, new location in the kingdom of his dear Son. Now we are crowned as kings and priests. The work of God is powerful, is wonderful. David called his son, adopted son, Mephibosheth, to come and take his father's place, Jonathan. And he came, he accepted it, but he never sat down and enjoyed his priesthood attitude, position, and the king's position. And we come to a place where God has put us. Seated in heavenly places, our new location, Jesus has crowned us as King and Priest. And we are sat now. And remember, the making of a king has nothing to see with our physical possession or material possession. It's our spiritual possession. Being poor, we become rich in Christ Jesus when we are king and priest. And by learning how to behave as a king and priest, poverty are all destroyed in our lives. It's the only way poverty is destroyed. Mephibosheth was living in poverty in the desert of Lodebar. David said, "Go and get him. Come, watch yourself, and come and dress as a king and live in the kingdom." He came and said, "What do you want to do with me as a dog, dead dog?" That was the mentality he had. And exactly the mentality we come with when we come to the Lord. But David said, "Today I'm going to adopt you. Come on, you are my son today. You are going to live in the kingdom. I'm going to crown you as king. You are going to sit at my table. There is a table prepared for every one of us in the kingdom of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Remember, we are kings, but Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because it is Him who is going to crown us. It is Him who has crowned us." It's written in, we just read it in Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. He has made us kings. It's Jesus who made us kings. But we are not above Him, because He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we are kings and priests in that kingdom. Thank you, Lord. But there is one who doesn't like it. He doesn't like our position. He can't stand seeing us above him. That is our enemy, the enemy of our soul. He doesn't like us to be king and priest. So he's trying to do everything to stop us to reign above and to reign here on earth. And that is our battle. If we don't learn how to sit down and be a king and priest and behave like a king and priest, our walk will be very difficult here on earth, and our standing will be very painful when we have to face the enemy. Because one thing the enemy is using, don't worry, he doesn't use much, he's using just the flesh, which is our five senses. And I just see it today, just by coming here and everything changed, it just changed in people's here also. By seeing the sight, everything moved from one place to over, from here to here, our sight, what is going on? Whoa, what is going on? Can we cope with it? Why not? We are not moved by what we see. Amen. Don't let us be moved by what we see. It's just what the enemy is using. That is his weapon. And he put us in bondage with our five senses. If we don't perceive and understand that position God has given us, we are not in charge of that position. He gave us that position, but we have a responsibility in that position. We need to perceive and understand that position, and also, of course, to accept it. We may think, "Oh, but I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, therefore," no. Because look at Mephibosheth. He could say, "He accepted it." He didn't. Mephibosheth thought, anyway, it was mine, because for my dad and my granddad. So, tough. But it's not for that he accepted it. He thought he had the rights, but he didn't have it at all. Mephibosheth didn't deserve it. He had it because of the covenant Jonathan made with David. That is the only reason. But he thought, "It was my dad's and my granddad's, so it's mine." No, it's not yours. You don't deserve it. You were far away. God made sure by his love through David to bring you in. And it's the same way, we don't deserve it. But because of his great love, and it's written in Ephesians chapter 2, because of the exceeding riches of his grace, he put us in that place. But we got a responsibility. Are we going to accept it or reject it? It's not because we're still being born again, spirit-filled, we're still not living that fully life of a king's. That's when there is a problem there. Have we fully accepted it? Our position in Christ Jesus. We need to perceive it and to understand it. If not, we live under that position. And it's exactly what the enemy wants us to be. The moment we are under that position, he can use five senses just to manipulate us and influence us. And he will get what he wants. And we will miss a lot. We'll miss the blessing which is in. Because in chapter 1, Ephesians, he said, blessed be. Let's go back to it again. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The blessing is there for us. As it was there for Mephibosheth. The blessing is there. But if we live under our position, the blessing cannot manifest itself when we live under our position. It's impossible. We miss out mighty things in God. Things we have freely, we miss it. For instance, Galatians says, chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hung on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It is done. But sometimes, in our mind, because of our five senses, we think, I don't think it's done. Look at the way I am, the way I live. I haven't seen the promises. I haven't seen that. I haven't done that. No, God said, it is done. Jesus has redeemed us from the curse. But we live under that position instead of living our perfect and our right position in Christ Jesus. We need to perceive it. We need to understand. Because in Mark chapter 4, Jesus giving that well-known parable of a sower. And he said something, I think is in Matthew story, you will hear it, read it. There is one word very important. He said, and if you don't understand the parable, if you don't understand that parable, you will not understand nothing. None. If you don't understand. Understanding is very, very important. We come to a place, we are in a society, a world full of knowledge. Everybody wants to go to university to have a big head and a 360 degree. But you just turn around with no understanding at all. The knowledge of the world don't bring understanding at all. But the word of God brings us the understanding we need for our breakthrough, for our position. We need to perceive it in our spirit mind, spiritual mind. We need to understand it, which is very important, and we need to accept our position in order to rest in the finished work of God. Because Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6, we just read it, says it, that God made us to sit down, portray resting. And we need to understand we are going to rest only in the finished work of Jesus. There is nothing else to do. But we need to know how to sit. Because immediately, if we don't understand how to sit, the enemy comes and made us restless. We are restless from within ourselves. And whatever is going on in that society, it brings us worries, stress, etc. Because we have not learned how to rest in our position, in the finished work of God. We have not learned to do it. So what he's doing, he's using all our senses and we take things on board and there we become restless even in the things of God and discouraged. It's just what he wants us to be, discouraged. And the moment we are discouraged, he bombards us. He makes sure he doesn't stop. His plan is not to stop wherever he is, the level he is with us. Just make sure until we go down and we feel depressed, oppressed, etc. But we only advance in the Christian life in our position as kings if we learn first to sit down and to rest. Jesus made it very clear in Matthew chapter 11. It's a verse we know very well. When we come to the Lord, we quote it to people. We quote it to people who are not yet born again. We teach them, come to the Lord, and we say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, 29, and 30. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. He didn't say rest into your spirit, he said into your soul, because it is where the battle is. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus made it clear to come and rest. He didn't say to come and preach or teach. He said to come and rest. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Nothing is heavy for you. Just come and rest. We preach it for the non-Christian. But we have not experimented that position to come and rest in his finished work. He gave us the rest. But that rest finds its purpose in the sitting down. It's only when we sit down in Christ that we will allow the heavenly secrets to be revealed to us. Like I said last time, when we sat down and learned to know God, have that love affair with God, there is a verse in Psalms 25, verse 14, it says, the secrets of the Lord. We discover the secrets of the Lord. Daniel, in a foreign land, discovered the secrets of the Lord. He was able to translate, interpret dreams. And that saved his life and the lives of his companions. Joseph knew the secrets of the Lord and interpreted dream for the king and gave him his position as prime minister. The secrets of the Lord, we discover it when we sit down and rest in his arms. God's got some secrets and wants to reveal them to us. And the only position which allows us to hear, to perceive, and to understand those secrets is when we accept the position in Christ Jesus, sit together with him, and learn to rest. We tend to use our five senses, which is in our soul, instead of using our five senses, which is in our spirit. We've got eyes, spiritual eyes. We forget to use our spiritual eyes and use our natural and carnal eyes. And the moment we see something different, that's it, we are down. Commitment is over. We forget we committed ourselves for the things of God. The moment something has changed, we haven't been for a while, we come back, or something else changed in our job, they moved the desk or whatever, we are down. What is going on? We let ourselves down. Why? By using our five senses. The sitting down is so important for a king. When the people of Israel was asking for a king, they went to see the prophet Samuel. They said, we want a king like other countries, other nations. Samuel was really disappointed, but God said to him, don't worry. They didn't reject you, they rejected me. I'll give them a king. God said, tomorrow I'll send you someone. Get ready for it. What happened? Samuel got ready and prepared a table. And once Saul came, he said, "We need to talk. You are here. Don't worry for the donkeys. They are okay. Your dad sent you to fetch. Don't worry for that. We need to talk." And he went to the kitchen. He said, "I gave you something. I asked you to put aside something. It is for that man. We are going to sit down now." The sitting down with the sacrifice and the covenant meal is very important. The sitting down is very important. The second king in Israel, the same thing, David. He went to Jesse's house and said, "You got someone I need. God sent me, and I need to anoint one of yours." He was not found. He said, "We are not going to sit down until we found him." The sitting down is so important to crown us as a king. And when they found David there, they sat down and ate the covenant meal. And it's the same thing for Mephibosheth. He said, "Mephibosheth, come and sit at my table." Mephibosheth made it a religion. He used to come only to come and eat at lunchtime or dinner time, but didn't understand it and missed his position. We need to learn to rest. Rest from what? We are asking. It's very simple. The finished work of Jesus on the cross. What did he do on the cross? Give you a list very quickly. He defeated Satan. That means we are more than a conqueror now. That is the work he's done for us. We cannot be under him when he's defeated. And it is done, it is finished. He broke down of the middle wall of partition for us. That wall prevented us to communicate with God. He broke it down. It's over. We can enter boldly into the throne of God. He made that way for us. He made that access to us. He canceled death, canceled sin's power upon our life. Sin has no power upon our life anymore. He brought salvation into our life. He made a way for us to have peace with God. He brought healing for our body, for our soul. He brought a way for us to be endued with the power and the full anointing in our life. We got no excuses. He blotted out the old covenant and gave us a new one and the best one. That is the finished work. That is upon that work we are resting. He's done everything. We've got nothing else to do. And it's where we start our Christian life. Our Christian life begins. We begin our Christian life by depending upon, not upon our own things, what we want to do, but upon what Jesus has done. Finish. Our Christian life begins and ends based on one principle: complete and total dependency on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Total rest in what he's done for us. Nothing else. And our salvation lies on resting on the work of the cross. Resting means to believe. We will see it again. I'll give you some example in the Word of God. Therefore, if we seek to attain something in that finished work, we will miss it out. Nothing will happen because there is nothing else to do. We try to do things and nothing happens. We're thinking, "God, what is going? It's not working. It's normal, it's not working. It's closed, it's done, finished, over." Try to do something on top of what God has done, on top of what he's finished, on top of what he's accomplished, is impossible. Christianity doesn't start with a do. Let's do, do. We become doer. Christianity start and finish is based on God's principle on what God has done. And is there we found our purpose. We found our position and we found our identity. And nowhere else. We become being, human being, not human doing. And it's where we need to be careful. If we don't find our position and our identity, it will be very hard for us to walk the walk God called us to walk. And it will be very hard to stand and face the enemy with all his schemes, etc. I'm going back a little bit to Genesis, about creation, very rapidly to tell you what happened. When God created heaven and earth, everything, it took him 6 days. And he says he rested after. But make sure what he did. When he created heaven and earth and everything, the last things he created is human being, humankind. And when he created humankind, it is said that he formed Adam from the dust of the ground, and after he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And Adam was alive, and the first day for Adam on earth was God's day of rest. There's nothing to be done. Adam could say, God, you want me to do something? No, son, there's nothing to be done. We are resting today. That is life started by resting. It was because God's work of creation was truly completed that Adam's life could begin with rest. He rested in God. He rested in all the finished work. He had nothing to do, and he learned how to walk through the garden. But he learned first to rest in that finished work. In the same way, Jesus worked when he came here. He did. He said it in John 9:4. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me. He had some work to do. Later, he finished it. He said it. He said, Father, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. You find it in John 17:4. He had some work to do. He've done it and he finished it. And he went on the cross to confirm it. And he said on the cross, it is finished. Everything is finished, accomplished, fulfilled. John 19:30. Finished, there is nothing to do. And from that time, our Christian life starts, not before. In the same way, Jesus' work of redemption was truly and completely finished in order that us, believers, we can enter into the abundant life he has set before us. The same way Adam entered into the abundant life God set before him, prepared, the same way we are entering into that abundant life Jesus prepared for us. We got nothing to do but learn how to rest in that work he's done for us. We step at that point when everything is finished by Jesus. It's exactly where we start. Is there redemption start when Jesus finished? There was no redemption before the finished work. And Jesus rested at the right hand of the Father until now, waiting for us to finish. Isaiah 11:10 prophesied about that resting. Isaiah 11:10, he says, in that day, which day? In that day, there.
Word of God. About 3 years ago, the Lord gave me a scripture and I brought it to the Wednesday night fellowship.
Jewish people. And his shall be glorious, and his rest shall be glorious. The finished work he's talking about, which is the rest, is glorious work. It is powerful. In that day, the day he made it on the cross for us, Isaiah saw it, he prophesied it. and we are living it. We are living it now. And I said last time that the prophets, our forefathers, they dreamed being in our time to live what we are living. They prophesied seeing the anointing in us, seeing Christ redeemed the people of Israel. They bought the value, they saw that value far, very far before it came to pass. And this is where we have to value the things of God, the finished work of God. It's so important for us to value that in our heart. Why? Because it is valuable to God also. Because it cost him everything. He cost him the life of his son. So that means it's very important to him too. It's valuable to God too. We need to value that finished work. The work Jesus done on the cross, and he finished it. And we need to step by faith and start enjoying that. We should not be sad about what Jesus done on the cross. We should start enjoying it. Of course, we don't deserve it. Mephibosheth didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. Ephesians says, it's the exceeding great riches of his grace who put us in that position. Made us sit together in heavenly places. Chapter 1 says, Jesus was sat, but it was the mighty power of God who made Jesus sat at the right hand of God. But for us to sit down together with Jesus is the exceeding riches of his grace. Nothing else. But when we sat, we don't need to think back, we deserve it or not. It is deal done. You are there, and we learn to enjoy it because of the exceeding riches of his grace that we are sat with Christ Jesus. Therefore, the work is not initially us. We've done nothing to deserve it. We got nothing to claim but to enjoy. Mephibosheth had a wrong attitude, very wrong one, thinking is mine because of my father and my great father. He was not. It's because of the covenant his father made with David. That's all. And in the same way, we got nothing to claim but to enjoy everything he put on the table for us and learn how to enjoy it. That is the problem. When we are in the world, we try to enjoy ourselves. When we come to the Lord in the Christianity faith, we are Sadducees. Very sad. And when we see people around us, they think about a Christian. If they are sad like that, no point of being a Christian. And the mistake we made, we show them the wrong face of our position, because we are under our position instead of being in our position. A work has been done. A work has been accomplished, and we need to acknowledge it every day just by saying, thank you, Father. Having a spirit of gratitude to our Heavenly Father, and by resting in it, by believing that he's done, and he has done a glorious work in itself, and it is for every one of us. It is for mankind. He didn't do it for Jesus. God didn't do it for Jesus. He didn't do it for himself. He didn't need to be saved. Jesus didn't need to be saved. But for us, he loved us so much. And the work is there for us. We need to learn how to enjoy it. And later I'll teach you how to walk in it and how to stand and face the enemy. Because Ephesians chapter 2, let's go back again to Ephesians chapter 2, is really where I'm working through. I'm doing my study in the book of Ephesians, because if you learn how to sit down and enjoy your position as a king, and we see verse 10, he says, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship." There is a bit of work in there. "Created in Christ Jesus into good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." Never work in them, but walk in what he has created. But first of all, we need to learn. Because we see the second gift David offered to Mephibosheth, it was the land. And he was, unfortunately, not able to walk. Because Mephibosheth was not able to walk physically, he was not able to walk spiritually. And because of his sitting down, he had a wrong attitude with his sitting down. The walking was affected. And Mephibosheth was waiting on his servant Ziba. And Ziba had a spirit of the society here today. And he lost everything. And his way. I don't want to go into that walking today. I want to carry on with the sitting down. But we will have to walk. So that he made everything. He prepared everything. First of all, to sit down as a king. Learn our position, enjoy it, take it on board, and move on by walking. He positions us as kings and to sit at his table. David had a little bit of a glimpse of it when he prophesied in Psalms 23, verse 5. "He prepared a table before us." Good things, good food. But we don't know how to enjoy it. There's another place in Luke chapter 14 verse 17. He said, "Come, for all things are now ready." He said, "Come, for all things are now ready." That means he prepared all things, everything. Nothing was left unprepared for us to do. He said, "Come, for all things are now ready," and for us to enjoy it. I talked not long ago, 3 Wednesdays ago, about, I give a very quick example of Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, how Peter and John ministered to that lame man, and how he brought revival in that town because they understood their position. They acknowledged, they accepted what Jesus done on the cross. At the beginning was hard for them to understand and to accept it, but they accepted it, they acknowledged it, they spent time together praying about it. And Jesus said to them, "You're not going anywhere. You stay in Jerusalem until I send the promise from my Father." And they obeyed. They accepted it. They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the anointing of the Spirit of God came on earth and in their life also. And when it came on earth and in their life, because they had learned how to sit down and they had taken their position, they were able to walk the walk God called them to walk. And because they were able to walk, as I said, the walking is here on earth among human beings, among mankind. They were able to minister to the needs of people. The only position, the only way we will be able to minister to people, first of all, when we will know who we are in Christ Jesus, and we come face to face to situations, circumstances, problems, they will never overwhelm us like Peter and John. They will never. Because we will learn how to walk in those situations. Those situations, those circumstances, those problems, we bow down their knees to us, as he did for John and Peter. What is God's basis for the outpouring of the Spirit on earth and in our life? As I said, for Peter and John, they rested by acknowledging, by believing the finished work on the cross. They believed and acknowledged that they were sinners. They were forgiven. They don't deserve it, but they acknowledge it. And we will, let's look at very quick to Acts chapter 2. What they said. Ministering to people, verse 32. Peter is talking. Something happened. The outpouring of the Spirit on earth and in their life, but they need to let people know. Because they are talking, they said they are drunk. He said, no, we are not, but let them know. Verse 32 of Acts chapter 2 said, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. They are witnesses of the finished work on the cross and raised from the dead. And not only between them, they are acknowledging and they are sharing it to people in Jerusalem. Of course, they said to people, repent and be baptized. Verse 33, which made the second part of the acknowledgement, why outpouring the Spirit on earth, is simply because Jesus was exalted on high. And he said it. Therefore, verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, that is Jesus. His position now, he's resting, is where he's resting. Peter is saying, he's done all, he's being exalted, sat at the right hand of God, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shared forth this which ye now see and hear. Because of Jesus is resting, who is taking place now, taking his turn, is the Holy Spirit. And because the Holy Spirit is down here, and Peter says, what you just saw and you just heard is because Jesus finished the work, he's resting, he's being exalted, and he sat at the right hand of the Father. No work was asked by none other preacher, nobody, when we come to the Lord. Nothing was asked us to be done in order to receive salvation. God allowed us to have a bit of faith, to open our spirit, mind, and to realize we are sinners and to come to Christ and repent. If no work was required for our salvation, no work is ever required to carry on our Christian life. The same way we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior and we are saved is the same way, the same principle to carry on our Christian life, our victorious Christian life. Everything was provided for us to be saved, and we believe we are saved, and we got some problem to believe for our healing, for deliverance, for freedom, for peace of mind, and we think we need to do something. If nothing was required for the salvation, I don't think so something is required to carry on the Christian life, because it's the same work and it is finished. And I would like to finish with the example of the people of Israel. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. When they left, when it was time for them to leave Egypt, which is the picture of bondage, sin, before they left Egypt, God had prepared a table for them. And the name of the table was Canaan, the promised land. God prepared everything. And God took them out of Egypt. And He's bringing them now to their resting place. And they are on their way, going towards their resting place. And the people of Israel is a natural example, and the natural Israel, and we are the spiritual Israel. Let's see the difference. Let's see where they made the mistake. Chapter 4, we are going to read just a few verses. Verse 1, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest. He said, let us therefore fear. So which means fear here, let us be careful and submit, honor, reverence the person who made the promise. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest. We can see is one promise can prevent us from entering into that rest. Give you an example of a promise. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5. By Jesus' stripes we are healed. We were healed. One promise. We miss it. We are not resting in God, because our body said, I am sick, I am healed. I am sick, I am ill. You cannot rest with a body like that. Verse 3. For we which has believed do enter into rest. Another key. Believing bring you into His rest. Believing in His promises. Believing what Jesus has done on the cross. He destroyed sickness, diseases, poverty, infirmity. He broke down the wall of partition between God and humankind. He destroyed sin on the cross. Believing leads us to enter into His rest. Verse 4. For He speak in a certain place of a seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day for all His works. I mentioned it before. Jesus worked. He finished. And when Adam came, Adam's first day on earth was a day of Sabbath, a day of rest. What that means, he just believed what Jesus created for him in the Garden of Eden wasn't fake, but true, and he has the privilege and the power to use it for himself and his family. Of course, he messed it up after. Verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into His rest, He also has ceased from His own works, as God did from His. You rest, there is no work to do. No work to be done. The promise is there. Let us therefore fear, lest that promise being left us of entering into that rest. For we which have believed do enter into that rest, believing of that promise. Verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. What brings us outside of that rest? Unbelief. Very simple. Unbelief. We do not believe God. We think we believe God. But the problem, the situation, the circumstance are still there. So whose fault is not God? There is a problem with belief and unbelief in our life. He said, I read it again, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief than the people of Israel. Everything was prepared for them. And Moses just sent them to have a little glance of that rest, of that promised land. And they came back and didn't believe God. Yeah. They refused to enter into his rest. And they struggled. Verse 12, for the word of God, the next bit, the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of souls and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That is another ingredient we need to complete that rest. I'll give you a picture. I'm going to explain something, and I want you to make your own picture. And it really blessed me last week on Thursday. And I was studying something, and Sonia came, and I thought, oh, let me teach Sonia about it. Let me use Sonia as a pig, guinea pig, as my guinea pig today. So what I did, I put some blue tack and some paper on the wall. So I teach her something by drawing it. And it really and I really enjoyed it, because it's, I can't see, you explain something, you teach you the word of God, but when you make some picture, give them some picture, it sticks to people's eyes, spiritual eyes, to people's mind. And it's exactly what the word of God in verse 12 does when he says, piercing even to the dividing asunder of souls and spirit. When we come to the Lord, we give our life to the Lord, we are born again. The Spirit of God comes on behalf of God to dwell in us. God comes to dwell in us through the Holy Spirit, and he comes and lives in our spirit, and we are born new. Like a born new engine in your car, we are born new, but it is our spirit. But what happened to our soul? Our soul has to be cleaned up time to time. And what we call it, renewing, by renewing it. Because everything is born new in the spirit, it is not yet in our soul, and is where the fighting goes on, and is where we need to do the cleaning every day with the word of God. And he says, for the word of God is quick. So it's doing a quick work, powerful, very powerful, and sharpened. And the word of God, peace between our soul and our spirit. And 3 Wednesdays ago, I was saying, it's something I really need to learn. When we've got the fullness of God in our spirit, how can we get it out through our soul into our body and to minister to people, to the needs of the people? And it's very simple, and he said, the word of God doing the piercing and dividing. It is the word of God which is in my spirit. The fullness of God is in my spirit. The mind of Christ is in our spirit, never in our soul. And it's where we need to type into our spirit in order to get it out in our soul. And it does the renewing. And we do it by studying the word of God. And I thought, wow. I was thinking with my carnal mind, how can it be done? and it's very simple, it's written here. Our spirit is born new, God lives in it, in all his fullness, it's complete, there is nothing else to be done. The faith of Jesus is in our spirit. Everything is done, complete, finished, accomplished in our spirit, but some work has to be done in our soul. And the way to be done is the word of God, and it has the piercing, the breakthrough. Some people is asking prayer for a breakthrough. I haven't found it in the word of God, but the breakthrough or the piercing through is with the word of God. It's allowed what is our spirit to come out, pierce our soul, and come outside our body and minister to people. And it's exactly what happened to John and Peter. The word of God, which is in all its fullness in their spirit, pierced through and ministered to that man. And Peter could say, I've got neither gold nor silver, but I've got something very powerful. And the moment Peter acknowledged it, confessed it, the manifestation pierced through his soul and his body, and he could say to the man, I'll give you a hand, stand up on your feet. And we saw the manifestation, and thousands came to the Lord after that. It's only those who learn to sit down and rest who will be able to walk in the finished work. Our power for walking and standing lies